Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's Chicago's afternoon news here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. All right, I want you to use your imagination for me. Go back to 1944. We're in the throes of World War II in the town of Mattoon, downstate, about 16,000 people. A lot of their police officers are overseas fighting the war, so it's diminished by half. Wait till you hear what happens next. Dustin Waters is a writer whose story in the Washington Post drew my attention. He joins us now. Dustin, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to share the story.
Absolutely. So it's September 1944, the 1st of September. A-Line Kearney is at home with her daughter. And what happens to her?
Yes. Yeah, so as they were retiring for the evening, Miss Kearney suddenly noticed a sickly sweet aroma kind of wafting into the bedroom, wafting in through the bedroom window. And around that time, the smell increased, and she noticed this feeling of paralysis start to spread up from her legs. She managed to let out a scream that called her sister in from the other bedroom, and she managed to slam the window shut, but they did not find a perpetrator, the source of the gas. Later, Miss Kearney's husband returned home from his taxi route and noticed a large man dressed all in black kind of sneaking around the house. And that was kind of the first reported case of the what would be known as the Mad Gasser of Mattoon.
The Mad Gasser of Mattoon. The next day, the newspaper, or the day after that, had a headline, Anesthetic Prowler on the Loose. And from there, it only exploded, correct?
Correct. Over that Labor Day weekend, more and more cases began to pop up, some a little bit more credible than others. Probably the most severe case was from a woman named Beulah Cords, who returned home and found a cloth attached to her screen door. She, you know, kind of without thinking, grabbed it and gave it a whiff and was overcome with this feeling of paralysis, but also the fumes from the cloth burned her throat and caused a bit of bleeding. And that was kind of the most severe case of physical injury that I came across. And then kind of dotted throughout the reports are some, I believe one woman suspected it was a large gorilla on the loose. So, you know, some cases were a bit more reliable than others.
Dustin Waters joins us now. He wrote the story that appeared in the Washington Post about the, what are we calling him, the Mad Gasser of Mattoon?
Yes, that's the name that kind of stuck.
And then a frenzy erupted or ensued, or pick your verb. What happened next?
Yes, so as you mentioned, the local police were woefully understaffed, so townspeople kind of armed themselves and took to the streets in kind of mob format and kind of searched for, you know, a suspect. They never found one, but, you know, women began to travel with carry clubs with them around when they would leave the house during the day. People were staying over at others' homes just, you know, to try to keep safe. And then finally, the state police, a few squadrons of state police came down and just constantly patrolled until the number of reported cases dwindled.
And there was great pressure on the local police, right? And they talked about a factory, Atlas Imperial Diesel Engine Company, that was outside of town, tried to put it on them?
Yes. The local newspaper, the Journal Gazette, put a lot of the blame on the local police and the local police chief. So the chief of police at times sought to shift that blame to a nearby diesel engine factory, alleging that they were mishandling chemicals, mm-hmm. We'll say. Well, it turns out that local authorities never even investigated that plant. So the chief of police had to quickly walk back that statement.
Dustin Waters is talking to us about a story he wrote in the Washington Post having to do with the Mad Gasser of Mattoon back in 1944. And, you know, we think, Dustin, of communications and Twitter and all of that being instantaneous today. It wasn't instantaneous, but man, did this news travel. It became a worldwide story?
Yes. Well, so locally, since police were unable to find a suspect, the quick line was to label it mass hysteria. But, I mean, a lot of these cases were credible, and these stories of the mad gasser spread overseas. Armed servicemen in Europe and India came across these reports. One individual wrote his mother back in Mattoon, asking her, what's going on? Is there a man going around town with a gas gun spraying people in windows?
That was part of one of the stories, right, that someone had like a spray gun, was just spraying at people.
Yes. That's kind of the picture that got painted. It's hard to say how credible that is. It is one thing to say that this was a case of mass hysteria, but, I came across a lot of reports of, people with physical evidence, whether it be, the cloth that Beulah Cords found or, the physical injuries that she had to receive medical treatment for. I feel like part of me believes that a lot of the talk about mass hysteria is just individuals at the time discounting a lot of these reports, chalking up to hysterics.
Dustin Waters finds remarkable stories about our past, and this one has to do with Mattoon, Illinois, in 1944 during World War II, this mad gasser story. So, Dustin, then the reports just dwindled and finally stopped?
Yes. When they first came in, it was quick and fast. They were coming in all that Labor Day weekend. But then as weeks went on and on, you'd have maybe one or two reports crop up over a week. But then finally they just dissipated. And, it's hard to say whether it's the individual who was perpetrating these crimes, whether they moved on or got bored, or whether the intense kind of police presence and local town reaction had made it too difficult to carry out the crimes without getting caught.
No one ever found, but the state's attorney brought up a point that I want to ask you about, because you certainly relied on or looked a lot at the newspaper coverage. And the state's attorney at the time, William Kidwell, as you said, blamed mass hysteria, but also said the Journal Gazette reporters sort of fueled all this and fanned the flames of fear. What do you make of that accusation?
I definitely think there is some merit to it. I mean, you mentioned earlier, running with the headline, anesthetic prowler on loose, isn't going to calm anybody's nerves.
No, not at all. For all we know, this mad gasser might still be out there, much older, not likely to flee from the scene quite as quickly, but never caught.
That's correct. I did come across some instances where locals and people who have come across the story and are interested in it, everybody has, there's a few theories out there about who it could be, but no one's kind of found that smoking gun, we'll say.
Dustin Waters, a great story. This one was in the Washington Post. He writes for other outlets as well. It was wonderful to talk to you. Thanks for the story.
Yes, thank you for sharing it.
You bet. It's Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. We're going to make our way into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up.